In the Hispanic community, mental health can be a taboo subject. I would personally know since I'm obviously Hispanic and I've experienced it firsthand. On this episode, we are going to talk to Jesenia. She is a therapist that treats the Latin community, and we're going to discuss stigmas in the Latin community in regards to mental health, unique mental health challenges that only pertain to the Latino community. For example, we may have language barrier, immigration status, and the stigma surrounding the mental health topic. We're going to discuss the bullying theory, differentiation of self, and how this can be applied in the Latino community. Hi, welcome back to another episode of The Mindful Space. Today we have Jesenia Delgado. How are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Thank you for coming.
Thank you.
Thank you for putting in the time.
Thank you for having me.
Of course. So if you could please introduce yourself. I already know what you do. Yes. LMFT, but
yes,
please go
I'm
ahead.
A licensed marriage and family therapist in Florida and Nevada. And I am a third year doctoral student at Nova Southeastern University. Oh. And I am also an EMDR therapist.
Love it. Now, today, our topic is going to be, you know, therapy, Latin community, and the Bowen theory, all in relations to one another, correct? How does mental health affect, in particularly, the Latins?
Yeah, it's a great question because it's something that we definitely need a lot more awareness on. There's so many layers to it, right? It's like a big onion. So I'm trying to think of, like, where do we even start? You know, I think just in overall, just like the stigma of not talking about mental health, about looking at mental health as this big like taboo or sign of weakness. And it affects women and men in the Latin community, right? It suppresses women and it suppresses men as well.
Well, you mentioned a couple of challenges. Are there unique mental health challenges that are only specific to the Latin community?
Absolutely. You know, I think of just like the hierarchy of needs, right? So thinking of a Latino or Latina woman's hierarchy of needs, if their essential needs are not met, they're not going to be thinking about therapy. So legal status, immigration status, you know, being able to have resources, where to find these resources, and also what their family might think of receiving help, right? When there's other issues at play.
Can we go a little bit into depth when we talk about language barriers, inequity, or lack of health insurance?
Again, like thinking of like the hierarchy of needs. If we're looking at, for example, Latins that have just came here from another country, the first thing that they're thinking about is not going to be therapy. They're thinking of having their needs met as far as like housing, food, like legal status. So all of that has to be met first. Now for like a first generation Latin like me, I'm Cuban American. I was born here. So I grew up seeing that, you know, mental health is something that is valued versus my parents, that they came from Cuba and freedom is valued. So again, like I always just go back to that, like the hierarchy of needs and what an individual might consider important when it comes to therapy.
That makes complete sense. We were talking earlier, and you mentioned that you have an interesting story, how you got into this whole world of therapy. And you're also Latin. What generation?
I'm first generation Cuban American.
Okay, there you go. Yep. So how was your experience? What led you to become a therapist?
You know, I think almost everyone that's a therapist has their own story. I'm sure you connect with that too. I think a lot about, and it's, I think part of my training now, especially like being a Bowen therapist, which we use ourselves as a tool in the room, has been for me to reflect a lot on what my own level of differentiation is and my own level of why I'm in this field and how I use myself as a tool with my clients. I think of my parents, again, like they're two immigrants that came here from Cuba. They had a really abusive marriage, and it's something that I was exposed to since I was very young. And I never really had like a neutral or calm like nervous system. I always felt like really highly activated, and I always found that like something, you know, whenever I had moments of like stillness, like my body like felt uneasy, you know. So I've always been very curious about the dynamics of relationships. And then when I got to that age where I was able to kind of just like compare my family system to other family systems, I was like, there's something off here.
Like, wait.
Yeah. So I became very curious. I became more curious about, you know, what my parents did and how they talked to each other and how they treated each other. And I just became, I think, since I was like a little therapist with my own parents, I would like sit them down individually and try to talk to them and try to, in my own way, just kind of like make sense out of the abuse. Mm-hmm. And all of that just led me into the career.
And then you realize that's also not good when the child tries to be the therapist with the parents.
Yeah, that's, you know, most Latino children are parentified in that sense. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Now, when we talk about health insurance and misdiagnosing, how could that be a barrier in the Latin community?
I, you know, again, I think it's important to take insurance, and we spoke about this earlier, because we give access to those who need help. And I think that it just depends in the context of what you mean by misdiagnosing, if you can tell me a little bit more about that.
When talking about culture, right? If you're Latin, there's certain things that for you, it might be, you wouldn't know how to describe it in the mental health field, right? So, you know, they think everybody's crazy, but the misdiagnosing, like the therapist has to be aware of the cultural differences to be able to diagnose correctly, because in different communities that might have a different meaning. So if I come and say, I'm anxious, but like, I'm just using the term loosely, but what I mean is, I don't know, I'm scared. Like you have to, you know, that's what I mean by misdiagnosing in that culture. So I feel that we need more therapists that are trained in different cultures so they can, you know, have a better diagnosing.
Absolutely.
Or provide.
Absolutely. And I think of, like, you know, being culturally sensitive, being culturally inclusive as well. And when you were talking, I was thinking of, like, you know, a lot of, like, Latin moms, they say, oh, I'm having un ataque de nervios,
ataque
right?
De pánico.
Yeah. And then, okay, but what does that really look like? And then we examine that, and it's, like, it can be from, like, just having, like, day-to-day anxiety to, like, psychosis. So, like, they use that term, like you said, very loosely. So it's good to just, as a therapist that wants to be more, like, culturally sensitive and inclusive, to ask questions and to be very curious. And I can see how for someone who's not Latin, like, that can be maybe for a therapist that's not Latin, they want to be very, they want to honor and respect the client, but we have to be curious and we have to ask those questions to really get at the meaning of things.
Exactly. Yeah. And you mentioned something earlier, stigma. So how is mental health viewed in the Latin community? Is there a lot of stigma?
Yes. There's a lot of stigma. You know, coming, I think I'm going to speak for my community, like Cubans, right? There's bigger fish to fry, right? There's bigger problems like communism and safety and, you know, leaving a country that is depleting people of food, of shelter, of everything, and imprisoning them to, you know, for them to leave and come to for new opportunities. So, again, like, they're not thinking too much about therapy, but that stigma of, like, I need help. Like, no, like, they're on, like, survival, right? So we have to also examine, like, when we're talking to people from different cultures, like, where are they coming from? Are they in fight or flight mode? Are they in survival mode? Or are they, do they have some of their needs met? Are they able to, like, now sit with themselves, process what they've been through, acknowledge that there's something that they need to sit with and process and work on their relationships around them. So, did that answer your question?
Yeah, no, I think in my experience, whenever, I don't want to generalize, right? Like, all Latins are the same, but I do feel like older generations don't believe in therapy, or they see it as, or they think of psychiatrist and medication, you know, they don't differentiate between, like, just talk therapy and going to get medicine. Again, if you need medicine, I highly recommend you go do it. But I do find that a lot in my practice where the parents are like, well, she doesn't need it or he doesn't need it. You know, they see it as like, Si estás loco, if you're crazy, yeah, then you go to a therapist.
Or it can also be backwards. That yeah. and, or, you know, she needs therapy, I don't. So, like, they drop off their kid in therapy, they go run errands. And it's like, oh, yeah. let's all sit. Let's, like, no, you need to come too. We all need to process. So, and that's, like, avoidance, you know, in the emotional system.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Family therapy, you see that a lot. Mm-hmm. I'm not the problem. My child's the problem. What did you mean?
Yeah.
I don't need it. How has your experience working with your patients in the Latin community? Have you seen positive improvements? Do you see resistance? Do you see the stigma?
I definitely like to call my my individual clients, you know, and I think just part of our training, we try to look at the people that we work with as people, right? And like them as an expert of their own life. And I see a lot of like first and second generation clients that I've had really breaking from that transmission generational trauma. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And being the first ones to break those patterns and wanting to first be aware and then, okay, now that I'm aware, how can I separate myself from the system that like desperately needs me to play this role? So it's really hard. It's very powerful too, you know, to see that, and then not only to see that, but to also align with that myself.
Mm-hmm. Now that you mentioned that, where you like separate yourself, mm-hmm. let's talk a little bit more about the Bowen theory and mm-hmm. differentiation of self for mm-hmm. those who are not aware with the term. Do you mind explain it?
Yes. So a little fancy word I like to connect is like emotional intelligence. It's another word for like differentiation. How can you be an observer of your thoughts and your emotion and the role that you play in your family system without being absorbed into it? Just being an observer versus like an absorber. We're all going to absorb to some extent in our family yeah. system, but it's like checking in with ourselves to see like the roles that we play in our family system and how in tune, it's like our attunement with ourselves, like emotionally, and all the connections that we have in all the systems that we're part of, like with our parents, with our employers, with our clients, with our personal relationships, like our level of like emotional intelligence.
How does that play a role in the Latin community? Do you see it more? Because I know I do. Yeah. Like it's harder for them.
How do you see it?
Yeah. I mean, I see it where it's very hard. The parents mm-hmm. put a lot of pressure on the children, and they used you for therapy, and or they used your children to do triangulation and mm-hmm. discussions and tell your dad this and tell, you know, mm-hmm. they're just or they expect the children to do as they're told all the time, mm-hmm. whether it's career, grades, mm-hmm. entertainment, anything, sports. So what do you see in your clients? Is it yeah. more predominant in the Latin community?
Yeah. And I really like how you said triangulation, because that's, you know, definitely a big theme I see. I also see a lot of like first and second generation becoming more aware, and then again trying to break from that transmission process of like the patterns. And I also see like a lot of guilt and shame that these children or young adults are trying to break from. And growing up in a household where like your emotions were dismissed and feeling angry or sad or any negative emotion was just not something that was validated at all. So, you know, and I think that speaks more on like the capacity that these like older Latino moms and dads like that they can handle with themselves and their differentiation of self. Like mm-hmm. they might have not been taught to handle negative emotions, and it's like, oh my God, just get over it, like just move past yeah. it, you know. And so when they see their children going through negative experiences, you know, it can be very dismissive, very invalidating, and cause a lot of harm. And I think that it's not due to maliciousness, or it's just that's mm-hmm. the highest level that they know how to function from at that moment.
Correct.
Yeah.
How would you advise someone to start the process of differentiation of self? Like mm-hmm. if they're, you know, at that point where they're feeling it, that they have to go against their mm-hmm. Latin family, mm-hmm. What would you recommend?
It's really hard.
Like case by case.
Yeah, yeah. It's very difficult. And I would say to take your time, not be in a rush, even though once you start to create more of that awareness. You're like, what the hell am I doing? Mm-hmm. Like, how am I allowing this? But it's more so, okay, like, it's that confliction. I think that's a part that I've seen that hurts a lot with my clients, that you see the good in your parents and, like, you see all these sacrifices for you. Mm-hmm. And then you also see how much they've dismissed and invalidated you. And I've always thought that in confliction, like, there's so much pain. When, like, because when things are more like this or that, black and white, it's easier. But nothing is really like that. And there's not a lot of things that I feel like are this and that. A lot of things are this and that. So to see good and to see pain, yeah, and hurt in your parents can be very conflicting and hard to be in that process. But it starts with you. And if you can model that and enforce over and over and over those boundaries for your parents, it's not too late, right? Yeah. But it is just a lot of work.
So it comes down to boundaries, mm-hmm, just like any other relationship.
Yeah, but boundaries with yourself, of course, first, and then with the people around you. Doesn't mean that they might honor it, right? But it's a start.
Yeah, that's why you should start with the boundaries for yourself. So whenever you input or place those boundaries to other people, they don't want to go with them, you'll be okay with just having to remove them.
Have you ever heard of that quote of the people that don't honor your boundaries are the ones that need them the most?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Have you ever heard, I'm in therapy because of other people that don't go to therapy?
Yes.
I go with that one.
Yeah.
For sure.
For sure.
When we talk in general about the Latin community, what could be helpful? You know, we can talk about building support networks or encouraging family involvement. What mm-hmm. do you think we could do better to assist this kind of demographic or
you
community?
Know, I think just more awareness. I think what you're doing is great. This is, you know, a great way to talk to the Latin community and to talk to the children of Latin parents, and to, at least for us to start, you know, for us to start finding that process of how to break the cycle, mm-hmm, and model again for our families that it's okay to get help, it's okay to go to therapy, and slowly kind of like see how we can pull them. That's what I'm doing in my family, just slowly trying to pull them into therapy and amplify the importance of healing, and that you deserve to heal, and that you don't deserve to carry all that pain that you've been carrying with from generations ago. Yeah,
I completely agree. Like you said, I think in summary, like we mentioned, the accessibility to insurance, mm-hmm, psychoeducation to parents, different kinds of generations, and just trying to break the stigma by talking about it. That alone mm-hmm has been having a lot of impact.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
For a last message to our audience, maybe they're part of that community, maybe they need some resources, mm-hmm, maybe they're first generation or second generation doubting, do I need therapy? Am mm-hmm I the black sheep of the family because I'm the only one that wants to differentiate themselves? Mm-hmm. What do you recommend? What's your last message?
If you feel something in your body that is telling you and like leading you to wanting to be curious about like what you're feeling and healing, let yourself just experiment with therapy. I always use that word, like just experiment with it. It's not a commitment until you make it a commitment with yourself, but be curious about everything that your family has gone through, and don't be scared just to look up, you know, like cultural inclusive therapists, or like Latin therapists, Latin therapist in your community, or just there's a tons of websites that you can just type in Latin therapist around me, mm-hmm, and make sure that you're choosing a therapist that like really aligns with what you're looking for. I definitely feel like a lot of people might have heard experiences from other people that they might have had a bad experience in therapy, and it's important to the therapy experience is always about the connection you have with your therapist and you feeling like you're a good fit with them, and them, you feeling seen by them. So that would be the most important thing. Make sure you're choosing a therapist. And if the first one doesn't work, look for a second one, right?
I know a lot of people get discouraged mm-hmm when they go to the first one and they don't have a good experience. So I tell them the same thing. Just keep looking, keep mm-hmm trying. It's like finding the right doctor, right?
Yeah.
You specialize in Bowen theory, or it's something that you use a lot in your practice, mm-hmm, correct? Can you explain to our audience what it is, what it consists of, and how do you use it?
There's 8 concepts to Bowen, and the first concept, well, they're not in any order, but the first concept for me that I find really important is to check in with myself and with my clients, differentiation of self. And that is their, again, like their emotional intelligence and how well they're able to separate their thoughts and emotions from the systems around them without being part of it, just observing versus absorbing. And again, like that's something that is taught. And then there is the transmission process, which is something that we touched on earlier, that you know, like those patterns that are passed down from generations, right? So Bowen, he studied, he worked with patients that had schizophrenia. So he worked with the families, he studied them, and he noticed that it took 3 generations of really high intensity in the family system to develop schizophrenia. Okay. And the same with alcoholism. So it's really interesting to see, you know, that all these, looking at anything that has happened in the family system, like abuse, alcoholism, abortions, miscarriages, any major life event that someone would consider important, suicide, right? All of those things live in the family system, and they're it's a transmission process. Yeah. And there's a slight connection with that. I don't know if you've heard of epigenetics before, mm-hmm. but there is, you know, kind of, there's like a, almost like a mini, like genetic makeup of what that looks like. Mm-hmm. And which can make it really hard to be differentiated in your family system when this is, you know, if it's a system with a lot of intensity, a lot of abuse, a lot of alcoholism, yeah. drug abuse, anything like that, it could be really hard for you to differentiate yourself from that system.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes complete sense. Mm-hmm. And you said there's 8 of them, like 8 principles mm-hmm. altogether. Mm-hmm. What are, just touch lightly on the other ones.
So there is societal regression as well. Mm-hmm. And societal regression is, you know, like the influence that society also has on what we go through and what in our level of differentiation as well.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. Interesting. How do you apply this theory in the Latin community? Mm-hmm. How could you?
Well, you know, you mentioned triangulation earlier. So that's also a big thing that we're looking at. In the Latin community, we're looking at a Latin family. We look at like alcoholism and how a couple can be triangulated with alcoholism, okay. and how that plays a role in subsiding and decreasing the intensity between a couple, right? So there's so many ways. And then children as well, like mm-hmm. children are the biggest, they're the biggest ones to be triangulated. And with triangulation, then also comes parentification, which is not a Bowen concept, but it's something that very much aligns with the concepts, in my opinion, and something I very much have seen with a lot of Latin children, that they become parentified. And they essentially, like, being parentified is when you, as a child, like, you have these needs that need to be met emotionally. Mm-hmm. Safety needs, and they're not being met because your parents are needing you to regulate them. So we are self-abandoning ourselves, and we're too concerned of what's happening with mom. Why is mom screaming? Why is mom crying? Why is, you know, why are they always fighting? Why does she need me to, like, play this role for her, right? So that causes us to, again, like, self-abandon and grow up thinking that other people's needs are more important than our own needs. Okay. And we're not concerned about what's happening with us. So we don't have that much attunement or yeah. differentiation.
Keep talking about triangulation.
Okay.
And I know for us as therapists, mm-hmm. pretty clear what it means. mm-hmm. Can you explain to our audience what is it and how does it relate to families in general?
So I think of like a metaphor of like just like a car running, right? And then like there's like a essential piece of the car that stops working, and then the whole car stops working, right? So it plays an important piece in managing relationships. A lot of relationships that we have experienced are based on triangulation, and we might ourselves have been triangulated. I know I have a lot in my experiences, playing a role in someone else's dynamic. So, for example, if there's a couple and one of them is unfaithful, the cheating is part of the triangulation. That is the way that the marriage is stabilizing. Triangulation is merely just how that dynamic stabilizes through the use of another person or thing.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Or addiction or whatever it is that's mm-hmm. forming a part of it.
Yeah.
Or if you have the child being in the middle of the mm-hmm. triangle, mm-hmm. and that's something that we try to avoid. Mm-hmm. And how do you fix that in family therapy, or how do you attempt to teach people to get out of the triangulation?
So the first thing with Bowen is that we use the genogram. So we do a genogram, which is a family tree. Think of it like that, with a lot of lines, and you know, just yeah. we're looking at patterns. So if there's triangulation, and I'm like so visual, so I have to use my fingers. But there's triangulation, we see that the mother has triangulated the child to stabilize her marriage with her husband. So that leads the mom and the son to be very enmeshed together. They have a very enmeshed relationship. That's like, and what we call like a mama's boy, right? But the mom is just very overbearing with the son. And that in family therapy, the first thing we do is just, it's visual, like having that visual.
Identify it.
The genogram is such a powerful tool to be able to show families. One thing is just to talk about it. Like, like, do you think that you guys are meshed? You know, say, no, absolutely not. And then when you're seeing like the patterns within those three generations, which is another concept of Bowen, right? The genogram, you start to see, and it starts to create this type of like insight with families and like individuals. And it's like, wow, like I'm overbearing with my son because my dad died, you know, when I was 5. And then my mom just had a lot of different boyfriends. And I never had that, like, stability with, like, mm-hmm. a man in my life. So I am overbearing with my son for those reasons. And my husband's a cheater, right? So, like, it all starts to kind of, like, make sense together. And then the husband cheats for his own reasons, right? So it's not self-blaming. It's just being aware.
Yeah.
And that's what I love about Bowen, that it's not judgmental. It's not self-blaming. It's just creating awareness to, like, these transmission process patterns that, like, we have embedded and we're, like, part of. It's really, really powerful. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Unconsciously most of the time.
Yeah. Super unconscious.
Yeah. Once you identify them, mm-hmm. how might you suggest this triangulation be fixed? Maybe for that example that you gave.
Yeah.
How can a family start fixing that, just by working on themselves, or
just that awareness in self, right? Mm-hmm. So we say that just awareness, but awareness in itself can be a big key for change and transformation. And you start to see, like, there's no like specific intervention, right? Like, now that we have this, let's do this. Mm-hmm. No, it's just, okay, like, what's happening with you? Like, what's happening with your own level of differentiation now that you're aware of these patterns? Okay. How is this causing shift in you? And then I think as a therapist, being very intentional about that, about asking those questions about what is your internal response to this realization, rather than like, okay, like let's fix this. No, like, let's really sit with this, like let's feel this, like, in our bodies, and tell me what is happening with you for you to have these realizations with all that's happening in your family, all this trauma, all this. And it doesn't need to always be trauma or like this like dramatic thing, right? But it's always going to be impactful just to see a pattern in your family system.
Yeah, I mean, trauma depends on the perspective. Mm-hmm. Everybody's trauma is different, right? Mm-hmm. Big T's and little T's.
Yes.
So what's trauma for me might not be trauma
exactly.
for you. So it's very case by case.
Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking of like just some incidents where I've been triangulated, especially like as a child. Then there was a lot of like triangulation with my parents and me, and a lot of pressure on me. So the triangulation, it was not just one parent. It felt like both parents were just really, like, focused on certain things about my life, like academics, right? And, you know, like, just being an over-functioner. Like, that's how I feel like I grew up feeling, like I had to over-function. Okay. And it happened because that was a way that I stabilized my parents' marriage. So they did not have to deal with like a lot of like their own issues that they were going through together. They put the energy all mm-hmm. into me. And my younger brother also definitely was triangulated in that sense. But it's, you know, it's different. There's like over-functioning, and then that can also lead to like under-functioning in other cases. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It's like high-functioning anxiety. Mm-hmm. At what point did you realize that that just wasn't working anymore, or that you were being triangulated?
I mean, like, definitely not with, like, the terms until, like, the past few years. But, I think I always felt like there was a lot wrong in my family system. And my nervous system was definitely, like, a part of that, you know. I developed, like, an autoimmune disease, like, when I was really young. And I feel like that there was, like, no explanation for that besides, like, you have a lot of anxiety. Okay. And I've done my own research and I'm like, wow, like, yeah, like I have a lot of, I've always had like a hijacked nervous system. And that's been part of the emotional system in my family. It's always been at a high with a lot of intensity. And then you look at other emotional systems and some of them are like really high and others are very, very low. Like there's no energy in that system. What that means is that there's not much like, there's not a lot of connection maybe, or a lot of like reproduction. Mm-hmm. So it can go either or.
Oh, so that definitely affected you a lot growing up.
For sure.
Then you became a therapist and found all your answers.
Oh, yeah, I don't have any answers, but
at least most of them.
No, I don't. You're like, I want to think that, but I don't. I'm learning. I'm just going along for the ride and I'm not being resistant as much as I used to. I feel like there was like this like resistance before, and now it's just more like smooth acceptance. It is what it is. I'll let life take me this way, that way.
Accept and embrace.
Exactly. I can think of, you know, a client I was working on for a while, and we did a really big genogram of her family system. The genogram is a really powerful tool on one of Bowen's 8 concepts, and it's a visual that you do with the family or the client that you're working with within 1 to 2 to 3 sessions, and you gather, it's kind of like it's the 3 generations of your family, and it's like a family tree but with like, you know, different different symbols. Yes. Exactly. It's exactly like a diagram. And you're, you know, kind of marking significant life events and patterns. So looking at if a relationship is really enmeshed or it's more rigid or there's cutoff in a family. So like my aunt doesn't talk to my mom anymore. Why did that happen? Where did that energy go in the family system? Something happened after that. So it's just like looking at the energy, because after, like, we're looking at cutoff, right?
Yeah.
Another concept. You know, just like most common themes of like people pleasing, self-abandoning, and doing a lot of like timelines and cultivating themes of the patterns in her relationships. And again, like love visual stuff. So I think that was very helpful. And she was able to see all the patterns that she's embedded in her past relationships with that she's been in the past. And
okay.
How aligned they are with her parents' patterns and how her parents are with her. So I think all of that, you know, like her parents putting a lot of pressure on her, being parentified, self-abandoning, all of that kind of led into that pattern of being like, for example, like a people pleaser in most of her relationships. So, you know, I think she found a lot of strength in being able to see that and cultivate, you know, with our sessions, we did a lot of processing on how that felt for her and what that meant for her. I love, you know, checking in with how people feel, with how my clients feel, but it's more so like, how do you make meaning of that for yourself? Okay. Our feelings are not very stable sometimes. our meanings and our values for everything are. And that's how we really do guide ourselves. So I think as she was able to kind of like really sit with how she made sense and made meaning of these patterns, she was really able to kind of like slowly and gradually create new values for herself.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I can see how that could be very empowering for someone. Mm-hmm. Just the fact that you bring it out and have the awareness, and now you're able to process it, make meaning for it, and eventually, you know, you hope that all that goes away. It never does, but you get better at it.
Yeah, you get better at recognizing it. And then, yes. You know, you get better at recognizing when these patterns may be popping up again, right? And then what am I doing to enable these patterns? Because we're very much part, we take part, things don't just happen to us. Yeah. We take part in a lot of things, whether we know it or not. So it's just being like an active agent for yourself of like awareness.
I also feel like once you're aware of certain things, you can't just let it go. Like you see the pattern, that red flag, and you're like, oh,
yeah,
been there, done that. Well, thank you for coming. I love this conversation. We're going to have it in Spanish now for the Latin community, yes, right? Because we do want to spread the awareness all throughout.
Yes.
I want to thank you guys for watching or listening. Please leave us a comment. Let us know your thoughts. Let us know your experience. And come see us every Friday, a new episode. Bye.